kingdom first class. If I can look at this verse here, verse 33, I don't think there's any of us who aren't familiar with Matthew 6:33. I don't think that this is any kind of profound revelation of a scripture. I think the thought is more profound than we'd like to give credit, because I think most of us have heard this scripture quite a bit and have taken the true meaning of it for granted. Jesus says, what I want you to do is I want you to seek the kingdom first. I want you to seek my righteousness first. For all of us who were taught to seek church first, for all of us who were taught to seek Jesus first, for all of us who were taught to seek the ministry first, when we actually look at what Jesus is saying here, we have to realize that Jesus is talking to a group who has put church first, who has put the law first, who has put being a descendant of Abraham first. They've put church first. They've put the temple first. They've put family first. Jesus says, what I want you to do is seek the kingdom first. Seek his righteousness first. Seek who's in right standing with God first, not who fits in the culture, not who fits in the community, not who got the street cred, not who folk like or respect, not who fits in your family, not who you decide to be with, boo with, hang with, deal with, sleep with. No. Seek his righteousness first, his kingdom first, his righteousness first. I said this before, I'm going to say it again, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and so you're going to hear it again. We all understand the word first. I can just take a couple of minutes. I won't belong the point just to talk about first for just a minute. Every single solitary person listening to me right now understands first. We all know what first is. The idea of first. It's kind of interesting. It's the nickname that everyone has for my wife around here, because it went from first lady to just first. So now everybody calls her first. Kind of interesting. When I say first, she comes to mind. She ought to come to mind, because quite honestly, she wants to be first. When we think about the word first, come on now. First go back to elementary school. Come on now. First go back to when you was five. You've been familiar with first since as long as you can remember. There was a time when you were struggling with something with a sibling and you said, but I had it first. I remember arguing with a brother over a toy that was his, even though it belonged to him. I still felt I had a right to it because I had it first. When he rolled on me and said, give me back my G.I. Joe, and I said, no, I'm not giving it back to him. And then when my mama said, why don't you give him back his G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip? I said, well, here's the thing. I had it first. He wasn't even thinking about playing with it till he saw me with it. He just being stingy. I had it first. My mother had to explain to me that first didn't trump ownership. My God, I don't want to get too deep on this thing. But just because I had it first doesn't mean it's mine. My cry was, well, that's not fair to him to take it, for him to take it since I had it first. I got here first. When the teacher said, line up, we scrambled to the door. People got hurt. Folks got bruised. Folks sprained their ankle. They had to do it quiet because you scrambled to be first. You wanted to be at the door first. It still carries over to this day. I know I've made this point. I'm making it again. You go to the restaurant, you're looking to see who gets there first. If they seat somebody before you, you'll say, excuse me, we were here first. When you sit down, you look around to see who gets served their food, because you're thinking, yes, I sat first. I was here first. First is a word that we are well acquainted with. If you've heard me talk about first things first ever, you probably have heard this example in this analogy. I'm gonna give you another one. The word first became something new for me about maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. First took on another meaning for me because I had the opportunity to fly first class. I don't know if you fly first class. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to fly first class. I could tell you mine. The way that I flew first class the first time was because of favor. I think I may have said this, because of favor. I was living at a time where my accommodations were first class, but not my trip. Where I was staying was, I was at a point where I was paying for a place that was first class, but I wasn't paying for no trip to be first class. I had a vision that was first class, but I didn't have a journey expectation that was first class. My God. Where I wanted to go to was first class, but I was riding coach going to first class spots. Ooh, I don't even know who I'm preaching to. I trust you didn't miss that. That some of us have got a vision of first class blessing and first class accommodations, and yet we've decided to take a journey where our journey is not reflective of first. First time I ever, my initial experience traveling first class was because of favor. My wife and I were going on vacation and we were flying through Miami, and I don't know if they got a really big extra size plane with I think that's what happened, switched planes up and ended up with one of those first class sections where you go in the middle and turn to the left in a big huge first class. And all of a sudden my wife and I got called up to the podium, and when they gave us new tickets and sat us in first class, it was a black person behind the podium, my God. And I think that they decided that since there was such an extra special space and they had a new plane, they were gonna fill the first class section with us. It was like Soul Plane on. My God, that whole first class was jammed. Y'all don't know about Soul Plane. That whole first class was nothing but us. My Lord, I've never seen that many of us in first class since that. But LaShawn and I sat in first class. The thing that's interesting is that when we walked in with our first class seats and turned to the left, we immediately began to act as if we belonged there. We immediately began to talk differently, and we immediately began to dab the corners of our mouth. And when they gave us the warm, moist towelette, we said, thank you very much, Chanda. And we had never flown first class before, but it didn't take long for us to adapt to the journey being first class. Woo! It didn't take a lot for us to be lured into the beauty of not just the accommodation being first class, but the journey being first class. I remember after that, I looked at her, she looked at me, and I said to her, why don't we do this? Why do we stay first class but don't travel first class? She said, because we don't want to pay for the first class. I said, isn't that the devil is a liar? Are you trying to tell me that I have an expectation to live at a first class level, to walk at a first class level, to do business and have money at a first class level, but I'm not willing to pay the price? I'm not willing to make the first class sacrifice on the way there. I want to be miracled there and favored there. I don't want to pay the price to get there first class. I just want to be favored there. That was my last time flying coach. After that, I said, it seems to me that if I'm going to stay first class and live first class, I might as well start traveling first class. And so now I only travel first class. You'll have to excuse me, forgive me if you're looking at me a little, feeling some kind of way and think I got it in snooty. Yes, and I'm old. My God. And so I only fly first class. Maybe if the flight's less than an hour, I may jump on a jet, maybe. But even then, I've got a different perspective about being first, because I only fly first class. For all of you that know about it, I'll remind you anyway, when you fly first class, you get on the plane first. You the first one to sign. You the first one in. You the first one in the journey. I don't know if you can get to first class destinations if you don't have enough sense to jump on board first. I don't know if you can actually live first class living if you was late to get in. Some of us were so late to get saved and late to know God and late to come to the ministry and late. There's so many times in which I talk to people, they looking at us, but they don't realize how early we started this thing. Tyrus, we got on this thing when we was babies. We got in this thing when it didn't pay nothing. We got on these stages when didn't nobody listen to us. We were preaching when there was 10 chairs. We got on the plane first. Sometimes you mad at somebody who's at a first class level, but you have failed to recognize that they got on the plane before you. Not only did they get on the plane before you, but they sat down first. That means they weren't up walking. They weren't up pacing. They sat in and strapped in first, because there's a whole lot of folk who don't take first class journeys because they're too nervous to strap in first. Sometimes you just gotta push in. Sometimes you just gotta believe. Sometimes you just gotta go all out. Sometimes you just gotta pack up and move. Sometimes you hear a word and you move and you strap in. You buckle yourself in and settle down, because it's hard to get to first class places pacing. Help us, Holy Ghost. We got on first, sat down first, strapped in first. We were served first. When you're in first class, you're served first. There is an attention that you gain first. You are being looked at first. Are you safe first? Are you together first? Is your thirst quenched first? Because there's a whole lot of folk that want first class blessing and your mouth is dry. First class accommodation and you haven't taken care of your own mouth first. You got to get salvation on you first, boo-boo, before you can expect to walk in the abundance that it will really bring. We the first one asked the questions. First one on, first one off. First one ready to move. First one ready to see where we going next. First one to understand that the journey is all a part of the process. First one to trust. I fly first class. And I'll say this and move on. I didn't think it was going to take this long. But I also am somebody who knows what it's like for people to be mad that I'm first. Just get yourself ready. If you decide to go kingdom first, if you decide to put his righteousness first, they're going to be folk mad at you because you have the nerve to pay the price to be first. Every time I fly, I say, and I'm flying a lot. Every time I fly, every time somebody tries to step in front of me, assuming I'm not in first class. I don't have the skin tone of first class. I don't have the color of first class. And so folk of another color, I won't mention who they are, have a tendency to try to cut me and step in front of me. And I've even had some of them tug me as I move forward to tell me, oh no, this is for first. They think that I'm mistaken. They think I didn't hear right. I don't know why I'm so excited. They think I didn't hear right. They think that I'm going on at the wrong time. And I have to say thank you very much for your information. And hate on me, hater, if you want to. But I have made the sacrifice to pay to get on here first. I remember one time I was on a plane and I was sitting in first class, and then I'm sitting there and I'm reading and I'm drinking my little juice, and then some folk are walking by that are going to go back to the back. Be careful. Just be careful. Understand. Don't ask God to bless you with power and hate on people who are walking in abundance. Don't ask God to bless you with wealth and money. It's so interesting how we want God to bless us and then hate on folk who are blessed. They're walking through, and a little girl is standing next to me, and she says to her mother, "Mommy, why did these people get on first? Why are they sitting down first?" And her mother said to her, "Those are the people who think they're better than everybody." And I just looked up and looked right back on down and said, "Just move it along, hate on hater. You better be careful talking. You don't know what I had to do to get to first class. You don't know what kind of price I had to pay to get here. You don't know what kind of sleepless nights. You don't know what kind of sleep I lost. You don't know what kind of friends I lost and family I lost and folk who don't like me for me to be in a place in which I now have qualified to be in first class." Be prepared. Folk aren't going to like you because you first. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Why people be mad at me? But I say, that's all right. I'm in first class. A white man asked me, "Are you an athlete?" I said, "No, I'm not." Keep right on walking, buddy. I'm in first class. Just because I don't look like I fit in first class, just because you don't think that I should be in first class, just because I may be a new first class kind of somebody, doesn't mean that your hate or your anger can disqualify me, because if God is for me, then who can be against me? Oh God, I don't know why I'm so excited. I'm trying to talk to somebody in here. I think somebody on their way to first class. I think somebody has been sitting in the back. I think somebody has moved up to comfort plus, but it is time for you to have a first class expectation of your journey. Come to the understanding. I can't have a first class vision and not have a first class trip. My ticket has to be first class. Jesus is talking to a group of people that want to be staying and living and existing in a first-class world and are not in first-class seating. He says to them, on your way to blessing, put the kingdom first. Put his righteousness first. On your way to money, put the kingdom first. Put his righteousness first. On your way to family, put the kingdom first. Put his righteousness first. On your way to your boo thing, put the kingdom first and his righteousness first. If you have an expectation for first class life, get first things first. I'm blown away. I keep talking to one of my partners in the back, Pastor Tyrus. He's in the room with me. Pastor Tyrus, I'm blown away by how many folk come to us and want counsel because they're living a life that was not dictated by a first-class trip. Your marriage is a mess because you didn't have first things first. Your money's a mess because you didn't have first things first. Your business is a mess because you didn't have first things first. That you did all of this stuff. What did it profit you to get there and you didn't get there first? I don't mean in order. I mean that you didn't have first things first. First, all of us have to be familiar with first. I'm trying to move on, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Everybody ought to be all right with first. Nobody should be surprised that Jesus is saying, put him first and put the kingdom first, because Jesus is a husband. We are the bride of Christ. And for all of you who got a husband or want one, let me tell you right now, if you get a husband, he wanna be first. I remember when I was a husband and I was first. Oh, it was so wonderful, Pastor Tyrus. I got fed first. Oh, hallelujah. I got thought of first. My Jesus. Folk was helping me, and the girl was thinking about me first. Then this girl named Kayla came into my life and bumped me out of first. I found myself in Comfort Plus. Kayla had taken my first class seat. Then Kerwin and Robert and AJ came on in there. And not only was I not in comfort, I was sitting in the back by the bathrooms. But I was determined that one of these days I was going to get back to my place, which was first. Son Steve just walked in. He don't know nothing about this, because right now he is first. Got that pretty yellow girl and he first. But wait till the baby get here, Steve, and you gonna find out you ain't gonna be first no more. My goddaughter, Sarah, pushed out a little baby named Nyla. I was coming home yesterday. I called my wife, couldn't get her on the phone. Called again, couldn't get her, Tyrus. Called a third time, couldn't get her on the phone. Finally, I called one of the boys. I said, go downstairs and tell your mama to call me. She called me. She said, what do you want? I said, what do I want? I'm coming home from my trip, and my belly is rumbly. I want to know, did you cook anything? She said, I'm so sorry, but Nyla is over and ain't nobody thinking about you. It's amazing how quickly I was bumped, Dimitri, out of first class. Telling you right now, don't ask God for a husband if you ain't ready to put him first. Don't ask God for a wife if you ain't ready to put her first. She want to be first. She want to be first over your money. Help us. She want to be first over your job. My God. She want to be first over your career. Help us, Holy Ghost. She want to be the first thing you think about when you wake up and the first thing you think about before you go to bed. She wants a hug first. first. She don't mind you tapping that back thing if you hug her first. She wants first things first. Don't ask God for a spouse if you ain't ready to put somebody first. If all you thinking about yourself is yourself, then you're not ready for a spouse. You're not ready for nobody. One of the reasons why marriage is such a problem in the black world especially is that we don't know how to put nobody first but ourselves. Way too many dudes think that a woman is just to serve you. But if you really are a man, you will learn that your real role is to serve. Now, of course, everybody will agree with that. Of course, everyone will agree with the fact that there are men who don't love women. They just love themselves. They love themselves. They love their body parts. And they just want to be serviced as much as possible. We all will say that, Pastor Andy. But we are now living in a world. I don't know why I'm talking like this so preachy. But we are now living in a world in which women don't love men. They love themselves. They love you as long as you love them exactly the way they are. They love themselves. They ain't not ready to put a guy first. He ain't ready to put a woman first. He ain't ready to open your door first. He's not ready. I don't know why I got on it. My point is that we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus says, seek the kingdom first, since Jesus is looking for a spouse relationship. The Father wants to be the only. The Father says, I am the Lord, love me only, serve me only, worship me only. When the Father sees the world, he sees children. What great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. He says, worship me and worship me only. I'm the Father. I want to be the only one. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, Jesus, the Son, the church, wants to be first. The mistake most of us were taught was we were taught Jesus only. We were taught church only. We was taught the Son only. We was taught service only. We was taught seek first church service and the saints' righteousness. That's what we was taught. Seek first a service and all of the righteousness of the saints of the Most High God. That's what we were taught. We were taught to go to church. We were taught to go to that usher with the glove on, with the nurse's outfit. We was taught to, that's what we were taught. We were taught to seek the pastor's approval only. We were taught an eldership had to tell you what to do, and an eldership had to tell you, and they wanted to be in control of you because we were taught the wrong thing. Jesus says, no, that's the relationship with the Father. The thing with the Son, the thing with Jesus, the thing with the church is Jesus says, what I want is I want my kingdom and I want my righteousness to be first. You can't have a good business only picking saved people. This past week, some plumbers came to do some work at my house. I didn't ask them if they were saved. Because I don't need saved plumbers. I need effective plumbers. I don't need a saved president. I need an effective president. Give me an effective one that will do. But when we make the mistake of thinking that it's only church and not first kingdom, we get all upside down. Part of the reason why the world is where it is. Part of the reason why the church is where it is. A part of the reason why, particularly here in America, folk don't even want to hear nothing church folk have to say. I'm so excited about the international stuff that's happened with us because I can't wait to be in some place where folk have some respect for what the people of God have to say. Here in America, they don't. And the reason why is because there is a group that has decided that it's church only. They only want somebody saved in office. So all somebody has to do is say, I'm saved. And they say, oh, hallelujah. And then they are voting for whether that person is qualified or not. Because once you start thinking church only, Jesus only, son only, church interaction only, you start thinking that the Father only talks to church people, but that's not the case. You just don't know the Bible. The Father talks to people that aren't in the church all the time. Not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost talked to Cornelius in his household and said, send for Peter and he'll come up here. Oh, you got another thing coming if you think that God can only talk to church people. You know how I know? Because there's folk watching right now. It was God that talked to you. It was the Holy Ghost speaking to you. You didn't know it at the time when you was at Hillside, but now you can look back and you think that was God. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the Spirit of God talking to me, and I did not know. Jesus says, I want you to seek the kingdom first. Jesus says, yeah, this is a spouse thing. There's an intimacy between Jesus and the church that's different than a father and his children. I'm gonna get in trouble for this, Tyrus, but there's the difference. A part of the problem is we trying to get everybody in the church, but the call to be in the church is a call to serve, not a call to be served. Jesus says, anyone who's gonna be down with me is gonna have to take up their cross. They're gonna have to follow me. They're gonna have to take up their cross daily. And whoever wants to save their life must be willing to lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And if somebody take your coat, give them your jacket. Somebody slap you on one side, let them slap you again, because this thing is about you serving. I don't know if America has ever been a Christian nation. When have we ever served? We have decided to be served. We have decided that every other nation will give their life as a ransom for us. My God, I gotta move on. I'm gonna get in trouble. That Jesus is saying, yeah, you're confusing the agenda of the Father with the agenda of the Son. You don't get to be in the kingdom to get favor, because the favor of God falls on the just and the unjust. Oh, I know we don't like that, Tyrus, but I know we don't like that, Steve. I know, John, we don't like that. That bothers us. But all of us know some heathens with favor. Oh, my God. All of us, matter of fact, some of the folk with the most money is the most heathen. Sometimes God provides for the prophet with a dirty bird. Woohoo! Elijah's by the brook, and there's ravens. Ravens are dirty birds. Sometimes God will use a dirty bird to provide for the prophet. That's why they said, why does Jesus eat with publicans and why does Jesus eat with sinners? They say that about me, Pastor Thomas. Why does Pastor Eddie Hillman hang with him? And why is he talking with him? Because I understand that God so loved the world that he gave his son to be a sacrifice for the world, because God loved the world. Everybody in India, God love you. Everybody in Africa, God love you. Everybody in Asia, God love you. You don't have to be American, Christian, and white to experience the love of God. And if you do know Christ, you know him to serve him. Jesus says, what I want you to do is seek the kingdom first. My God, I'm running out of time. I'm down to 4 minutes. I ain't even got into my, because I've got kingdom qualities. I got a whole bunch. Ooh, I got seven of them, but I don't know if I'm going to get to it. But because Jesus is saying, I can't get off it. Seek the kingdom first. Seek his power first. Doesn't mean seek his power only. Bible says that you'll have favor with God and man. There's too many of us that was raised by folk who had favor with God and no favor with people. There's way too many of us that was raised by saints who knew how to pray but didn't know how to pay. We was raised by folk who knew how to say hallelujah but didn't know how to hold a job. Don't nobody love Jesus like broke people. Don't nobody run and shout like broke folk. Nobody run and foul. No, nobody holler over favor and blessing like broke people. But Jesus is saying, what I want you to do is I want you to seek my power first. Understand that the principle leads to a practice, and that practice should affect your life. I'm just all over the place this morning, but you'll have to forgive me. The Holy Ghost doesn't mess with me today, but that's all right. I was in a mall. I'll give you an example, Pastor. I was in a mall, and a young man came up to me. He said, Pastor Andy, oh, my God. And this is before the pandemic. He said, Pastor Andy. I said, hey, son. He said, oh, my God, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And I sat down at the bench. We was in the mall here in North Carolina, and he said to me, I need you to pray for me. They're getting ready to fire me. And, man, I know it. I just left. I walked out. I need that job, but the supervisor got mad at me, and man, they about to let me go, and I just need you to pray for me that I won't lose the job. I said, all right, son, I can definitely pray for you, but can I suggest something to you? He said, sure. I said, have you apologized? What were they upset with you about? Well, I got in late. Seemed to me that if you got there late and they got upset, why are you upset about how they got upset? This is us. This is this generation. They want to be mad about how you came at them. I mean, I know I was late, but you didn't have to say it like that. How about this? If you have the power to pray, then why don't you have the power to say, sorry, boss? I'll pray for you, but how about this? Go back in there, say to him, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm so sorry. I was late. I'm gonna do better. Please don't fire me. How can you apologize to God who you don't see and can't apologize to your boss who you do see and you need the job? What you have discovered is you too broke to be mad. Most of us are too broke to be mad. I wish I had a witness. Most of us are too broke to be mad. Most of us are too broke to be angry. Most of us ain't cute enough to be a real problem. Oop, I got to get off of that one. Most of us aren't cute enough to be a problem. You got too much mouth to be that not cute. She's upset with me, Pastor Andy. Well, she's upset because you're too broke to be this much of a problem. And you're not cute enough to put up with this much. You need to be way nicer. Man, man, I'm in all kinds of trouble now. That if you're seeking his power first, his power will give you another kind of power. Don't lose the principle in the practice. Seek his power. Seek his righteousness first. My God. Seek his, the Jesus says, now, I want you to seek the kingdom first. We get that. We kind of, and I done preached it for 40 minutes, so I know you got it. But what we don't focus on is his righteousness first. We think righteousness is holy church, spiritual acting and living and talking. I would contend that some of the most spiritual acting, Holy Ghost talking, churchy people aren't righteous. Oh, Pastor Andy, you done made me upset now. Well, forgive me. I've been in church my whole life. 52 years I've been in church. I went to sleep in the back. I know church people. Maybe you don't know the church people I know. The church people I know, I have met some of the most ratchet. I have met some of the most ratchet, some of the most evil, some of the most won't forgive, some of the most controlling, some of the most child molested, some of the most rape, some of the most hurt yofa, some of the most evil, wicked people you ever meet, you'll meet them in church. His righteousness is not his righteousness is deeper than how folk act in church. Holiness got to be deeper. Righteousness has got to be deeper than the actions of humans, because all of us are faulted. Every last one of us in this room has done something that we don't want y'all to know about. Ooh, my hand is up right there. All of my, everybody, my brother in the back and niece, these sons of mine, we can all say, oh, don't put no camera in my room. Don't put no camera on my, don't record me. So righteousness has got to be outside of action. I would contend that righteousness is the fruit. The action is the fruit of the heart, not the fruit of the church practice. The real question is, who does Jesus deem worthy? This is where we get into the most trouble. This is where folk gonna shut me off. This is where folk gonna be mad. This is where folk gonna be upset, because who Jesus deems kingdom worthy and who church folk deem kingdom worthy, two totally different groups. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to seek my kingdom first, and I want you to pay attention to the people I like. I don't want it to be your list. This ain't your party. He says, and the folk who are subject to the kingdom better be careful before the feast is full of people who may not be qualified to be there by your standard, but they fit with Jesus. Oh, be careful that the folk who God uses don't end up being the people that don't know him as well as you know him. Sometimes folk who sin a lot worship a lot, my God. Sometimes folk who was really dirty know how to holler, my God. Sometimes folk who made big mistakes are very dependent on him. Sometimes the people that are coming from the lowest place are the ones who are saying, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Who does Jesus deem worthy? Who does Jesus say, yeah, this guy I like? Jesus gives a list. Jesus, this is what I wanted to get to, and I ain't got there. My God, this is who Jesus is saying gets to sit in first class. He gives some descriptions. He starts to teach, and he starts to lay out qualities, that things that he finds qualifying for kingdom. I'm gonna give you one just because I'm feeling really nice. The first one, plus my daddy's watching and I gotta exegete. So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, don't judge or you too will be judged. Interesting, the first persons that Jesus decides qualifies for kingdom is folk who have a quality, and that quality I'm calling is veracity. Veracity. When I say veracity, I'm going to take some liberal, a little liberal. I'm going to get a little liberal with it. What I mean is speaking to actions, not motives. When Jesus says, don't judge, you will, or you too will be judged. And what the measure you use is going to be measured to you. What he's talking about is judging what you see, not the heart. That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, I like folk who can say, that bothered me, but just because that bothered me doesn't mean that means something about you. That's judging. It doesn't mean that you don't have anything that can offend you. It means that you're careful. I know I harp on this a lot, but I'm harping on it again because it's a quality of the kingdom. Folk who think they know what's in people's hearts don't qualify for kingdom power. Jesus says, I can't possibly give you kingdom power because you won't judge based on the evidence. You'll make an assumption that you know what's really going on. And when you assume, you make an out of you and me. I almost said it, but my mama is watching. I'm saying to you that Jesus is saying the first folk that don't qualify for kingdom is all the judgy people. All the people that look down on other people and think they better and think they somehow qualify because of how they look or the color of their skin or where they were born or what kind of stuff they have. And they think that as a result of that, they can look into the hearts of somebody and deem that they're evil. Jesus says, yeah. Them kind of people, not interested in them for kingdom. They may be able to be around the church, but they won't have kingdom power. And the 1A, I'll give you the 1A. I got to go. The 1A is using that metric for yourself. Because there's nothing less kingdom than the double standard. One of the ways I know that America is not the kingdom of God, and neither is India, and neither is Ghana, and neither is Nigeria, and neither is Australia. The kingdom is bigger than Toronto, Canada. It's bigger than that. One of the ways I know is because we love a double standard. Oh, there ain't nothing we like better than a double standard in this here. Oh, there's nothing we like better than a double standard. And Jesus is saying, see, what I want you to do is whatever metric you're using for them, use it for yourself. With the measure you use, I got you. With the measure you, let me tell you who I want in the kingdom. I want folk in the kingdom who understand what you say will come back on you. B Be careful overly judging somebody in a sin that you like. Ooh, I need to get off it, but we all like a sin. All of us, if you don't like a sin, you lie and a grunt, stick out in the front. The devil is a liar, every one of us. That's why you need the blood of Jesus, because we all got a sin we like. We just don't know yours. There's something funny about people. People have a way of judging people on a sin they like. They gay, mad at people gay. They sleeping around, preaching on folks sleeping around. They messy, preaching on messy. My Lord, my God. They don't drop their stones, they throw them. You will see them preaching against it and find out later that they was right at the parade. You will find out later. Jesus is saying, yeah, just understand there may be people like that in the church, but when it come to kingdom power, that's a quality I don't like. We're going to seek his righteousness first. We're going to look at the list and see who get to be in the kingdom party. I just want you to know, everybody who got something to say about somebody doing something they do, not going to make it. The next one, I'm going to get one more. I know I'm over. The second one is so connected to it because in verse 3 he says, yeah, let me continue with the thought. Why do you look at the speck of salt that's in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Tell you what, how can you say to your brother, let me get that speck out your eye? Meanwhile, you're ignoring the fact that you got a 2x4 coming out of your eye. You hypocrite. First take the plank out your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm calling this second quality transparent self-improvement. Transparent self-improvement. Don't talk about nobody else's belly when you got one. Don't look at nobody else's until you fix yours. Be quiet. Don't tell nobody how to have hair and you don't have none. Don't tell nobody how to raise a child and your teenagers are full of the devil. Don't tell nobody how to have a husband and you by yourself. And what you need to do is fix you first. Jesus says, you know who I like? I like folk who work on themselves first. I like folk who got enough humility to say, well, actually, I'm working on this myself. I don't know if you've ever been around a bunch of really big people talking about weight loss. It's almost nothing funnier in the world. I'm like, well, if you know so much about Atkins, then why are you so big? If you know that you should be drinking water, then why are you sweating butter? It would seem to me that you need to fix you first. The suggestion that Jesus is making here is that's real hypocrisy. Real hypocrisy is not you still working on stuff. All of us are still working on stuff. Real hypocrisy is you got the nerve to comment on something and you haven't fixed you. What you talking about, Pastor Andy? I'm talking about kingdom qualities. I'm talking about Jesus saying, seek first the kingdom, seek his righteousness, And all these things will be added unto you. Man, I got seven of them and I only gave you two, but that was good. Tune in next Sunday. I'll give you the last five. Can I get you to give real quick? Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom? Come on, I want you to dig down deep. I want you to give a good offering. A good offering. Give a good offering. Don't fuss about anybody else if you can't give a good offering. Don't fuss about any kind of work of the devil if you can't give a good offering. WOCConline.org. Man, I've been in a preachy mood all day. WOCConline.org. If you just text WOE Online to 77977, push pay will pop up. Text WOE Online to 77977. Push pay will pop up. You'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. Can I get you to give? Can I challenge you? I'm challenging you to give the biggest offering you've ever given. The country is opening back up. Time to sow some seed. Time to believe God. You can't be mad about something if you can't give to the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I've been challenging everybody to give at least $50. I got to get you to give more than that today. We've signed purchase and sale. We done signed this P&S on this land. It's time to move. It's time to build the kingdom. I'm going to lay it out for you. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it. I'm going to lay it all out for you. But can I get you to sow on this word? Somebody saying, Pastor Andy, I'm believing I'm going first class. I'm with you. I'm believing that you are about to leave your coach lifestyle and go to a whole nother level. Can I get you to sow? Can I get you to give? Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you again. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your lap. For here it is again, with the measure you use, it's measured unto you. Part of the way that the Lord blesses you is through people. For all of you that are asking God to bless you, he blesses you through people. How can God bless you through people if he can't use you to bless somebody else? How can you have faith that God will touch them to give you the contract and he can't touch you to get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? Can I get you to give? I'm not going to beg you. Everything you give is going to the building fund. Everything you give is going to the work of the kingdom of God. We on our way out of here. We about to meet again on July 25th, but we on our way out. Come on, let me buy. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this time. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this opportunity we have to sow. Thank you for the power of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom is first. We want to seek first the kingdom. We want to seek your righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. Thank you for your power that is able when we're weak. Multiply this moment to the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us. You need to keep alert, keep watching us. I was saying it earlier, the website, WOCC Online, y'all are there. YouTube, however you're watching us, follow us on social media, Pastor Andy WOCC. I think I'm on TikTok, help us Holy Ghost. Pay attention. We're going to be meeting soon, July 25th. And we're believing God's best in your life. Wednesdays, Sundays, come hear a word. Let me pray for you one more time. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment. Thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway. Thank you that the entrance of your word sheds light. And as we walk in that light, we have fellowship with one another. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking through these lips of clay your unsearchable riches. We magnify your name. The name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Now, God, we ask you to bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Favor on your people. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you are our rock. You're our redeemer. We really love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you next time. See you next time.